And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. It is a wondrous thing that we wait for. And you can well understand why many sometimes pray, "Hurry up, Jesus." We yearn for the day when we will see him in glory and power. For while we know that our place right now is still under the cross, that our place now, like Jesus during his public ministry, is to serve with humility and apparent weakness, while we know all of that, there are still days that make us tired and impatient. Days when we just want Jesus to come in power and make it all right. And he is coming, but only after the troubles of these present days. And yet one of the heartening things about his coming is that when he comes, he is going to gather his people. He will gather them all together, and they will know each other and be known as the Lord's people. Right now, we don't really know, at least not the way that we'd like to, who is really part of the kingdom. Right now, we only see the outer aspects of others. We can make guesses. We can make good guesses based on their words and their actions. But we can never be sure, for who knows the heart except for God? And this is a worry that we even have about ourselves. Having gotten caught up in a culture that judges all things by our feelings, sometimes we have doubts about our place in the kingdom. And sure, I say my prayers, I embrace the truth of Scripture and the creeds, I'm baptized, yet I don't always feel very Christian. Passions and thoughts war within the heart and mind, and we wonder. And that's the joy of having the word come to us from outside of us. God comes and declares simply, "You are mine." It doesn't finally matter how you feel. What matters is that God is true in all that he says and does. He is faithful in Christ Jesus, and his word will stand. And his word about you will stand. And his word is that you are forgiven, you are loved, you are made new, and that word will stand even when everything else passes away. He is coming. He's coming to gather you and all the faithful. But until that day, this world will continue on as it always has. And that's what's meant by saying that this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. The phrase, "this generation," does not mean a particular historical period, the way that we often use it when we speak of the greatest generation or Generation Y and so on. No, here, what Jesus is getting at is a kind of life, a mode of existing, generation in the sense of a kind of birth. The kinds of people who are born into this world, the kind of world that we live in, it's going to remain this way until the end. We are not on an escalator of progress where people will get better and better as time goes on. No matter the sophistication of science and technology, people will remain what they are born of in Adam and Eve. And so there will be signs reminding us, as we heard last week, that things as they are now cannot go on forever. Wars, famines, earthquakes, false teachers, and the like point us toward the end. They remind us that the only stable and reliable foundation we have is the word and the promise of Christ, forever established with his sacrifice and his resurrection. All else will pass, but his love, his grace, his life shall never pass away. And hence we look on the troubles of our day, not with desperation and fear, but with the same confidence and hope we know that when we see the buds and leaves of spring. No matter how long or hard the winter, how slow or late the spring was in coming, when we see the green of life and growth all about us, we know that summer will come, even if we don't know exactly when the weather's going to change. So that begs the question, what do we do while we wait? Now, last week, you might remember Jesus' words directed us toward endurance. This week, it's watchfulness. Stay awake, Jesus tells the disciples, us, meaning be alert, be aware, be vigilant. Be on guard. But for what? When I preached on this reading at Concordia a few years back, I reminded the young folk that we use the word watch in different ways. And some of those apply to Jesus' words here. For instance, if there's danger, we might tell someone to watch out. And similarly, Jesus wants us to be vigilant, on guard. He wants us to watch out against dangers of our day, and chiefly against the false teachers and the false saviors out there. We noted some of that last week. But the point remains, in these troubled times, there are dishonest men and women who would take advantage of your fears by speaking you sweet words designed to tickle your fancy or offer you false hope. Some of these characters are even within the Christian churches, and others are purveyors of false religion. Watch out. Stay awake. John tells us to test the spirits. If a teacher, if a religion doesn't line up with the pure word of God, if it doesn't present you with Jesus and salvation that has been given you in the scriptures, then let it be anathema. As St. Paul said, the devil can make himself look like an angel of light, but his words and his deeds will always expose him. Then, if someone, ourselves included, is looking like they're tempted to do what is contrary to Christ, we might say, you better watch it. Time and again, Paul and Jesus call us to resist temptation, something that we're not always terribly good at. Even Paul laments that he knows the good but often fails at it. He knows what is even evil but still stumbles. Temptation is a struggle. Bitterness, anger, despair, doubt, rebellion, and so on are always close to hand. And yet in Christ, we do have a voice that says no to everything that calls us away from the kingdom. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit in you yearns against temptation, prodding you, sometimes pulling you to say no. Now, temptation wouldn't be very tempting if in our fallen state we didn't find it attractive in some form, which is why we must be on guard and watch it. And when we do stumble, it's why repentance and forgiveness are so vital. For coming to us from the outside once again, God's word is declared to us by the faithful and unchanging Lord. We are called not to wallow in fear or regret or self-recrimination, but we are called to believe and then live in that life-giving word that is declared to us, you are forgiven. So watch out, watch it, stay awake, and then do what you are given to do. Now I know I sound like a broken record on this one, but notice how Jesus tells us to be watchful and awake. He says it's like a master of a house going away and leaving his servants in charge, each with his own work. Now, this is not to say that we're saved by our works, but it's to note that we have things to do as we wait for Jesus' return in glory. We're not given to just look endlessly up in the sky, seeing if we can catch a glimpse of his coming. We're not given to try and calculate the day or the hour. We're not given to anxiously brood over the news cycle as if we could find a clear sign that the hour was here because of the latest outrage. Rather, we have our work, our callings in Christ to attend to until he returns. We carry on at home, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, children, brothers, sisters, and so on. We carry on our callings at home with love, forgiving, serving each other, showing care and devotion according to our circumstances. We carry on with the work in the world around us, as neighbors, as citizens, as friends, co-workers, and so on, showing Christ's love and his grace to all, being his light in the midst of this age of darkness. We carry on with our callings in church, hearing the word, receiving Christ's gifts, growing up into him who is our head, serving each other, bearing with one another, encouraging and admonishing each other so that we all come into the kingdom together, no one left behind. And we speak grace to the world outside those doors, inviting and bringing others so that they too can hear and see and know the goodness of Christ. We stay awake, alert, watchful, and hopeful. For we know what's coming, we know who is coming, and we know whose we are. We are his elect ones, chosen, beloved, forgiven. You are forgiven, set loose, freed from sin's guilt and its burden and its chains. So live as free people. You're baptized, born again, after the image of Christ. Your old nature has been nailed to his cross. His resurrection is already a part of you so that you are animated by his love and his faith. Live as baptized people, and you are citizens of heaven now, governed by its ways, even as you sojourn here. Walk in its light, breathe its air, speak with its words. He will come, my friends, glorious and powerful, gracious to gather all who are his, and their number is past counting, and it includes you. So rejoice, my friends, and carry on. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.